Jagger.
Sure.
I heard the Bajans going on in the background. Good, good.
Yes. It's coming now regularly every day.
Good,
And
good.
I see the difference because that generates joy.
Yes.
During the day, something happened, I start to singing and joy is coming. Say, hey, you're really happy. Yeah, from nothing. I don't have any specific reasons. It's from inside. It's not from something outside.
Exactly.
And I feel the difference. Like, do the mantra, the bhajan, reading, and I can observe the difference. If I can call that transformation, but something happened. It's
Right.
more light. Everything's more light. Even tough things are there, but it's not the same because there's less identification with that. So it's at the moment the identification is lower. Everything is lighter for me.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's other thing or the same time, but I don't 4 hours sleep a day. That's it. That's all. It's okay. It's like this right now, and
Yeah,
that's
it's all good.
I do meditate more time to meditate or reading. When it was starting, I was kind of panic. It's too early. Blah, 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 so I didn't stop. I very often now I remember is it. Okay, don't start story with everything. Just okay, it's like this. So what we're gonna do with that? Instead of it's wrong. I have to do this and that. So I
Exactly.
can see all the effect, if I can call that effect, of our meeting every Tuesday. That's put me more deep in that. Because I
Good,
used to
good.
spend good time, like I said, Muji opened the trail for me because I discovered Muji 3 years ago and I follow him. And first time I heard him, I say, okay, that's what I'm looking for a long time. The Advaita, Bhagwan, and all this, and the way he should, but I, for any reason, I don't know, it came like a plateau. I saw
Yeah.
something is missing right now, and I was starting to reading more in Nisargadatta. I said, wow, that's powerful. And from Nisargadatta, I discovered Ramakant, and Ramakant you, and then Jit. And now I said, okay, I got all my package. Now the shopping is over.
Exactly.
So thank you very much for all the time you spent with us.
Jai Sadhguru, yes. Good. Yeah, I told you I began in the Muji thing too in
Yeah.
2010. You know, I started feeling that presence or whatever, and I would attended the satsangs, even the ones where he went to Tirunamalai or whatever. And it was like I would have to wake up at like 1 in the morning and watch it until 4 in the morning and then go to work. And yeah, it was like, because that's that inside, that's that inner quest, that inner pull. I must know myself. And it's as soon as you get that little taste, that little bite,
It's
then
over.
master starts manifesting in your experience all this quote journey to get to know yourself.
Right.
And basically you're discarding this self you thought you were to be, this self that you are.
John,
Yes,
it's
yes.
a very nice coincidence. I was about to ask you, were you ever with Muzi? And then you just immediately, actually, this question was formed. I was listening some video first time of Muzi this week. And then you said, yeah, you were with Muzi in 2010. And then I had another question. So this I am sense you said, even before coming to Maharaj, it started. Was it with the Muzi? That's the question I had. And then you answered that one as well. It's
Well, it
very.
was actually, again, when because of the program that I was in for alcoholism, I worked these steps. I started to feel that subtle sense of presence. And then that subtle sense of presence, I was told to meditate by this lady because I told her, I said, I feel like I've like burst into light. What's going on? And I was scared, honestly, that it was like, what the hell is going on? So then she sent me through Eckhart Tolle, Power of Now. She said, read this book and do these guided meditations. And I did the guided meditations for a long time. I was like listening to the guided meditation and I really enjoyed it. It was Kelly Howell. And they were like binaural beats with this really beautiful kind of story. And you just followed the story. And I noticed that I was more peaceful. And presence just started to arise. And the Eckhart Tolle Power of Now, I've told this story too. I read that book and it said, oh, I saw the presence in a flower. So again, egoistically, not knowing what this was, I went and I remember I was staring at the flower and I was like, okay, I must see the presence of this flower. And I didn't understand, but the earnestness and the drive was there. And when Eckhart Tolle said, you know, the next time you're getting on the escalator, because in the book, it says, here you are, you get off the train and your mind is already at your work, at your desk. You're not even experiencing the escalator to the front door, to the building, to the elevator, because your mind is like sitting in the office upstairs. So try this exercise. Just stand on the escalator. Watch everybody going by, but you just be there. And at first it killed me because I was used to being one of those ones that I walked up the escalator. It was a long escalator and I walked up it. But then I stood and I was just, and see, it was these things. It was the willingness. And the more the willingness came, the more desire was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then the more I do this, the more I get the experience that they were talking about that was saying, hey, if you do this, you will discover something. And so I wanted this. And yes, with Muji, it was mostly on just Facebook and internet. I joined the little Muji Facebook group. And actually, there for a time, I was going to fly to
Portugal.
Yeah.
Portugal.
I've been there.
And this lady, I called because I said, oh, I do web stuff. And so they started talking to me about this and that. And they said, well, Muji, you know, he would like to meet you in person if you fly over there. Now, luckily, I was in kind of a body-based toxic relationship. And my girlfriend, I don't know if she might have been my wife at the time. I don't know. But the lady that I was living with said, hell no. You are not going to fly off to Portugal and spend a month with Muji and all this kind of stuff. She's like, no, no, no. So then I kind of bowed out of that. And I even had to tell them, and they were like, you know, because I started telling the lady on the phone, I said, I'm feeling this presence and I feel it very strongly while I'm watching Muji's satsang. And she said, well, Muji needs to look you in the eye and see you as you are. I said, okay, that sounds good to me and all this. But then, of course, like I said, Lara said, no, hell no, you are not going. So I allowed that. And see, in my experience, I still had this desire. I was still in the Muji group. There for a while, I had 5,000 friends on Facebook and all this kind of stuff. And it was very just searching, basically, you know, searching and seeking and being around, like it talks about, and Nisargadatta Maharaj talks about, as this I am begins to arise, you're going to desire spending time with those of like mind, those who are also seeking. And so the Muji satsang and the Muji groups on Facebook and all this sort of stuff. And then I don't know how it happened. I was in another very bad relationship, actually. And I started listening to or reading I Am That. Oh, I know how I Am That happened. Because Sri Ramakant Maharaj used to have on his website, before you come see me, please read I Am That and Selfless Self. So that you have a basic foundation and it doesn't waste your time, basically, because if you're not understanding these concepts and you go there, it's not going to benefit you. So I said, okay, I definitely want to see this Ramakant Maharaj and I'm going to read I Am That. And I read it. And again, the reflection, the reading the reader started reflecting, the power of the presence was undeniably wonderful. And then I read Selfless Self. I got online with Anne and Charles and did some Skyping. And the very first Skype I had with Maharaj was just amazing. I knew by that time, because like I told them, okay, and I'm do everything to excess. See, I was born gifted with this beautiful personality where I wanted to do everything in excess. When I read Selfless Without Self, I read it 17 times before I went to see Maharaj.
Wow. Cover
on the train every morning on my commute and on my commute back reading, reading, reading. This is not egoistic. This is just, this is the desire to know. And the presence was felt and reflected and was like, oh, yes. And then that led to seeing Maharaj.
17 times you read.
17 times, cover to cover, before going to India.
Wow.
When it was very first published, I asked Charles and Anne, oh, I must get this book. And I did the whole PayPal thing, and then they sent it from India. And the very first, when it came, boom, started reading and just kept reading. And it was from my home in Laurel. It's about 40-minute train ride to get to DC. And I would just read and read. And then on the way home, read and read. And yeah, I read it 17 times before I came. As a matter of fact, when I came to India, the book was kind of already, you know, it had been creased and all this kind of stuff back and forth. So, but this is, if I had to say anyone who is on this kind of experience, give yourself completely. What do you have to lose? Because you are really in reality not what you believe yourself to be. So there is nothing you can lose on this search for yourself. And as Maharaj says, nothing is wasted, because all of those things brought me to the feet of Maharaj, where I surrendered completely anything and everything that was not of my true nature. And this is why it's so important to have that direct experience of your own selfless self. Otherwise, all the reading, all the everything, it has to lead to, Master says, you are not body. Now you must discover this truth. And then Master, we're very blessed because Master gives us the mantra to keep the mind busy so we can remain with ourselves as self. And then Master says, you are not body. So if you're sensing this sense of presence and you are not body, then presence is all there is. And you are that. And then you might say, oh, well, I read about like the screen, that I'm the observer of the screen. But again, don't give this to mind, because see, in screen, what do we think of? A movie theater or like this computer. It's flat screen and it's showing this and this. But the screen is not like this. The screen is trying to describe the consciousness in which objects are appearing and disappearing. It is not a flat screen. It is a three-dimensional screen, space, and all the objects within the space are on the screen. But as soon as we start to get any kind of conceptualization, and that's why Sri Ramakant Maharaj says, when I say things and you approve, you're like, oh, yes, 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 this is very good, because they match with your concept. If I say something and it does not match with your concept, then you're like, I'm not sure about that one, Maharaj. But because this thing, like, okay, screen, what is screen? Screen is flat, movie screen, flat, computer screen, flat. The reality of the spiritual pointing is the space in which objects are appearing and disappearing. That's the screen.
So it's not on the screen, it's in the screen.
And not even in, because in is... See, when you know yourself, it's like formlessness has no inside, yeah. No outside.
Yeah, that's
pure. Even in the Bible, they say no height, no width, no depth. Yeah. And this is the truth. There's no height, no width, no depth.
Yeah.
There's no, it takes a mind to conceptualize what is size. Yeah. Like when you think about space, how is size compared? We compare it only with objects within the space. A mouse and an elephant has the exact same presence. And both are objects within your own self.
As you mentioned about Bible, right? New Testament, you know, when I think it's very non-dualistic. Not might be everything, but some statements, some verses. So other day I was reading this thing, you know, you can't go through the God except through me, you know. And the way, so I felt okay that there, this is talking about himself as I am. So
yes,
as a devotee, you have to identify yourself as that I am. That identification with I am liberates you, or the, you know, makes you to yes. abide in that God. So, oh God, oh, how profound that one was. Okay. I don't know whether I am, you know, based on my non-dual background, whatever that, you know, I'm interpreting. But, you know, that's how I felt that. That's one thing. Another quote I was reading, like, seek, it will be given. Ask, it will be opened. Like, you know, find. Okay, there, you know, seeking, it's not material thing. It is like, as you said earlier, right? Give yourself to it completely. That is what that quote is saying. Like, you yes. know, completely seek the God or that I am, you know. Go back to the I am. You know, if the mind is shouting, knock, where is that now? So that's how, you know, my mind is interpreting these Bible quotes.
Yeah. Well, remember, again, Jesus knew himself in a real sense. When he's talking to the devotees, they're thinking and hearing him based on body-based understanding. And so he's not speaking. He's speaking from this position of absolutely knowing himself in a real sense. The devotees, having body-based understanding, see him as a body, just as we do the guru. At first, we see Sri Ramakant Maharaj as the body and believe, oh, that's the body. No, the understanding is that the formless presence is utilizing this particular form to speak to itself through this particular form to let it know you're formless. And Jesus did the same thing. He says, before Abraham was, I am. Well, obviously, this 27-year-old guy or whatever was not prior to Abraham. But I am, yes, because Abraham was an appearance within the I am, was an appearance on spontaneous presence. All of these religions, they're saying the same thing, and all of them are true because it's just those that are knowing themselves in a real sense are speaking. And they say they're speaking the word of God because it's easier for devotees to understand. But they know themselves in a real sense. The devotees that are listening and are feeling this profound, oh, this is beautiful. Like Holy Spirit. What is Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is presence. Again, throw away all the labels. Throw away all the different things. Presence, I am, Holy Spirit. Just I, this very, very subtle sensation. And that's what in the Bible, when Jesus says, go out and preach the word, he didn't mean preach the word like preach words. He said, this Holy Spirit is now with you, in you, through you. Because he talks about, you know, this Spirit will come and teach you everything you need to know. Of course. This presence, when you remain with presence, it teaches you everything you need to know. You are not body. You are not body. You're not going to remain body. And if it's necessary, then in the manifestation, an object will appear as guru. And the guru will simply tell you, you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. Nothing except your selfless self. You're just a little bit confused because you thought you were a body. And when you think you're a body, you hear everything and experience everything through this wrong perspective. That's why Maharaj says, your computer is filled with bad files. And mantra is like the antivirus software for illusion. Because when you know yourself in a real sense, then you're no longer looking at or feeling through the perspective of being a body. Even the experience, you can say, okay, there's an experience happening, but it's definitely not my experience. It's just like in a dream. I'm swimming, but I don't wake up wet. I experienced swimming. But am I the dreamer swimming? No.
It's interesting that the I am comes again and again in the scriptures, in the experience of oneness. So the I Am, and Romy was just talking about the I Am too. I think that the I Am is that the word, and it's also the presence. You know, that we can use the word, but and we can feel it visually in our cells, the I Am, because that is the formless presence that we are.
Exactly.
That so that I think that no, and you were mentioning earlier, before Abraham was I Am, in the burning bush with Moses said, "What's your name?" And God says, "I am that I am." And it's illumination, really, I think, to live that way with the I Am.
And you can't describe it. See, that's the thing, this presence, this subtle feeling, I know myself as this or that, whatever you want to say. So how do you describe this? You say, well, who are you? I am that I am, that sense of existence.
Yes.
I have no attributes, so it's almost impossible for me to say who I am or what I am.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
So I am is used because I am is like the declaration, I exist.
Mm-hmm.
And that sense of existence has appeared to this one that existed without a sense of existence. And when the existence comes, the nothingness says, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing can say, I am not. That's how Maharaj says about knock knock on the door. Who's there? Nobody's there. But of course there has to be somebody there to say nobody's there. I'm sorry, Rami, go ahead.
Last week after talking to you, right, I was trying to just, you know, come back to just to be, you know, when I was working, whenever there is some time, just trying to come back, maybe before going to the sleep, after coming back, after waking up, just, you know, coming back to this I Am. That's how, you know, I encountered Muzi. Okay, what is this I Am they are talking about? Just like, you know, just another reminder for myself, you know, to come back to, how to come back to, an attempt of, you know, coming back. I think I Am is the, I don't know, very under statement, I think. Not understatement, you know, in all the spiritual texts, they talk a lot about awareness, self-inquiry, many things. But in the end, one has to touch that I Am.
Yes.
That is, yeah.
That's the purpose of meditation. That's why Maharaj says, if you're not willing to meditate, when all the people are saying, oh, Maharaj, I don't like meditation. Okay, then knowing yourself is not for you. Go enjoy the tourist. Here's your brochure for the gurus of India. You will have an excellent time going and dancing and wearing nice robes and putting nice garlands and bowing to the masters. That's for you. This little path over here is for you. If you are desiring to know yourself in a real sense, you have to spend time with yourself. How are you going to know yourself if you don't realize, recognize, or reflect that sense? I am, I exist, presence, just I. If you don't have time to do bhajans and you don't have time to remain with yourself with self and you don't have time to do meditation, here is your brochure. Enjoy all of India has to offer. Make sure you go, that the gold is very nice over there, and you'll meet some very wonderful people, and you'll get to meet some masters. You bow to the masters. They might have you stand in the Ganges, or maybe take a bath in the Ganges, or go on this spiritual pilgrimage. Maybe you'll walk around the mountain 100,000 times. That's for you. And once you're done with all that, there will come a point where you say, my God, I've been on this tourist journey for 20 years, And I'm no closer. I've had moments of complete peace, but it's not constant. Then you go back and Maharaj says, are you ready to meditate and know yourself in a real sense? If you're exhausted, then come. If you're absolutely ready to surrender at the master's feet, and master is formless master, not necessarily Sri Ramakant Maharaj, the person there or the body there. When you're bowing to the feet, you're bowing to the feet of the entire universe that is your own self. And that's why, again, I was very lucky with the whole alcohol thing. Working the steps was an ego deflating thing. It was, I'm really done. I don't know what to do. And this ego deflation by working the steps no longer was there. Like even Sri Ramakant Maharaj said, Nisargadatta Maharaj told his friend, I'm not bowing to any body-based masters. I'm not doing it. And yet when he met Sri Siddhameshwara Maharaj, there was such a powerful feeling. There was such a powerful presence to presence that he bowed down. But see, we have this egoistic sense that even if you go on Cura, so many people are worried about, what if I get a fake guru and he takes all my money and takes my wife and my dog and all this? Listen, your only true guru is your own selfless self. As it manifests in the outside, if you're truly seeking, you will find. And as Nisargadatta Maharaj says, because in I Am That, and in other books too, these people are constantly asking, how do I know if this guru is for me, if this guru is real? If the guru is real, you're going to feel something. You're going to feel an advancement. You'll start to notice changes occurring within you. And if not, that's okay. You continue what this guru is saying, meditation, practice this, do this, because eventually you'll leave your to your own self. It is your own selfless self seeking your own selfless self because of the concept of being a body in a world that it no longer desires to do this. There must be more to me than just, I mean, what happens when I'm not here? And so then the spiritual journey is seeking. And it can be through anyway. I'm searching. I'm seeking. Seek and you will find. And this is true because the concept of seeking will dissolve the finder.
Seeking is like, you know, trying to an attempt of dwelling in I Am, you know.
Yeah, just be seeking. Yeah. Is to know yourself in a real sense. At first you may say, as I did, this presence is my conception of God, you know. I bow to this presence. When things go good, I thank the presence. When things are not so good, I say, okay, master, what can I do? How do I do this or whatever? I start to turn my will in my life, which just means my thoughts, the things should be separate than what they are, to this presence. And this presence then is my conception of God. And that's how I came to Maharaj. This is my conception of God. And I understand it that somehow, I'm still not sure exactly how, but Sri Ramakant Maharaj is the manifestation of that presence. And not like in a Jesus Christ, you know, like, oh my God, like people will say, oh, so, you know, you're worshiping this man. No, because I very much understood that the sense of presence was appearing in my experience as Sri Ramakant Maharaj. And I was going to go there as a person, go there as a body, to surrender and actually really to thank this presence, this God of my understanding. Thank you. You've delivered me from a really hellish life. I'm starting to feel some peace. I just want to know you. I want to give everything to you. I don't know why I want to do that, but this inner urge to surrender at your feet is burning. I must do it. And then when it actually occurs, it's, you know, you leave behind everything that you are not. It's like taking off the, you know, you unzip John and drop him on the floor and walk free.
For me, spirituality, John, it's an for quite long time. like before this break, you know, like last few months I didn't attend, right? Until that point, it was an escape from my day-to-day problems. I get this existential anxiety so easily. Whenever my job or something, you know, security related is threatened, I get that existential anxiety. And then I start reading the spiritual texts. So in a way, it's not really I'm seeking this I am or the spirituality. I am just, you know, unable to face what is there and just using this as an escape mechanism, coping mechanism.
Painkiller. That's what Maharaj calls it. A spiritual painkiller.
Yes, I realized that one moment, oh God, you know, this is not going to help. Okay, then after that, you know, it's not an escape. Okay, whenever time comes, investigate. But now I think that after that, you know, Krishnamurti started making more sense. You know, when he talks choiceless awareness, he's talking about being that I am without any movement. Like movement means no thought with any identification. So after all the gurus are saying same thing, you know, but now yeah. Just I always thought as an entertainment, never seriously trying to understand what they were really trying.
But yeah, Maharaj talks about things are going rough in your life, you take a spiritual painkiller. Or worse, you go see a guru for spiritual massage. Because while you're there, you start to feel this presence, you feel this peace, you're like, oh, this is wonderful. And then when you get back on the plane and you go home, it's like, okay, well, that was very good, and it was a good experience. That's why Maharaj has said to every person who comes to the ashram, take pictures to remind you of this ashram. Don't just get lost in your life that you believe you are living, because it's not true. So you're going to give up gold for garbage. But you like the garbage. I think, as a matter of fact, this is another nice story Maharaj tells about the nickels and the little boy. He likes playing with these little silver or these little copper coins or whatever. And he just loves it from very young age all the way to the top. Then somebody says, ah, now we're going to give you gold coins. He's like, no. I really like my copper coins. I've been with them so long. Why would I give them up? No. I like my copper coins. But these are gold. No. I'm okay. Thank you. Everything is good. And this is what we do.
Yes. I am so much used to so-called self.
Instead of drinking the nectar of immortality, we desire to drink from the mirage and then cry about the mirage not satisfying our thirst.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, though.
I just thought I'd step in and say hello.
Hey, Keith. Hey, Guru.
I've had trouble. I've been on vacation and haven't been able to hook up on the line. So I was a little lag. I probably could have notified someone, but anyway.
That's cool. I'm glad you're here. Glad you're on vacation too, enjoying yourself. Yeah. Hopefully you're not losing yourself to, you know, you're remaining with yourself with self while you're enjoying your vacation, and you're not losing yourself with self just to vacate.
Well, it is something.
Because in reality, everyone here is trying to take a vacation from themselves.
Yeah.
This self as we appear to be. But where are you on vacation?
In Arizona.
Oh, okay.
I was at the Grand Canyon. And cool. Bryce Canyon, which is extremely beautiful. Get to see my sister. It's been great. Been great all around.
Good. Yeah, there used to be somebody from Arizona who did weddings. I'm trying to remember his name. He came for us for years.
Andrew.
Andrew. And I think when I stopped sending the email, he didn't go to like the website and come in. Because ever since we've done that, he hasn't been here. So I don't know. Oh. I hope he's doing good.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen him in a while.
No.
I thought you kicked him out. No, I'm just kidding.
No, nobody.
No,
but see, a long time ago, we used to send out an email. Actually, I think it was Kathleen who used to send out the email like every week, and she'd send it to like a whole bunch of people. And then when she said that, you know, she was going to kind of not be able to do it all the time because she had other commitments, then I said, well, I'll just go ahead and do it. But I'm not going to really send out an email anymore because some people may not like that. So I just sent out one email and I said, you can go to the website and click on this link and join if you care to join. Also, it's available on YouTube. And again, the YouTube will have the link. So everyone is available and ready to join. But I stopped sending out the email. So, but over the, 5 years that we've been doing this, you know, different folks have come in, different folks have left, different folks have come in. Some people will email and say, you know, how they're doing or whatever. So,
yeah, I think many people listen, you know, your talks on YouTube. Actually,
on the YouTube, yeah.
Many of our brother disciples, they say, you know, they listen to you. Might not like every week, but whenever they get time and...
Good.
I think, I mean, whatever you are doing, maybe live participants might be less, but it is reaching, I think, wherever it's supposed to reach.
Good.
So...
I was a little curious, what time is it there?
It is 7:50.
Oh, so it's about done then.
Yeah, well, it says remaining meeting time, 2 minutes, 43 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah, Zoom does that now. Jen, count down and then poof, we're gone.
Jen, if I come to Jamaica, is it possible for you to travel Jamaica?
Through me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't think so. No, probably not. Jamaica? I don't know. No, probably not. Because, right now, I don't know. I'm not... the nearest plans I have is Sessions by the Sea. That's like this AA thing I go to every year where it's like a little spiritual retreat and we have meetings and I hang out with the folks that are in my group and in other groups. But I don't really do a lot of like vacationing and traveling and this sort of thing. As a matter of fact, really the only time in my life that I've really traveled was to go see Maharaj, because that inner urge became so powerful, I had to do it.
I know. Before I die, at least I want to meet you once, Jan.
Okay. Well, again, remember, you see yourself as formless, and there is no separation between you and any being body anywhere.
Do you know one of the reasons I came to London is maybe one day I'll get citizenship of UK, and then I can easily travel to US. Maybe I can get a tourist visa now, I think. That is also bugging me. So actually, I tried ES many times. It didn't work out. The main reason was I want to meet you there and do bhajan at satsang. I think we are about to.
Yep, less than 1 minute.
1 minute.
Today is one of the rare day. I think we are waiting for the end of the call.
I am.
Watch Midnight Mass, John. That's very nice TV series. You like it in the end.
Midnight Mass?
Yeah, on Netflix. So.